hire the land of 3-4 miles of circumference around the factory at 1,000 rupees of annual rent. If needed, double the rent, but do not fail in renting the land, wrote the directors of East India Company to their merchants in Bengal. It was that radical idea that transformed the fortune of the British. Welcome to my podcast, Art Beyond Canvas. If you like the episode, please click the bell icon and follow me. In this episode, I shall talk about how the aforesaid incidents changed the entire course of history of India. As I explained in my earlier episode, the British treasury was being emptied at a rapid pace because Indians did not want any goods the British merchants offered. Hence, the currency of exchange was always gold or silver. Doing trade that way was turning difficult. Some way out was essential. The expenses of running a trading station was also very high. Eventually, the idea struck the East India Company about taking a village itself on rent or lease. Such lease was to be taken from the Mughal emperor or at a later date from the local ruler, that is, the Nawab. Once such a village was rented, the claim of the taxes arising out of the subjects living there belonged to the tenant. This means suddenly the East India Company was making enough money to run its operation just from the taxes they received from the locals. And in the beginning, the goal of East India Company was not to rule but to make more and more profitable trade. Hence, they made sure that the overall ecosystem could support a thriving business hub. Exactly due to that reason, Kolkata, Madras, and Bombay quickly attracted people from all over the place in the country. People rushed there in the hunt for a living and often safety too. Kolkata, until the arrival of Robert Clive, was one of the safest towns in the entire country. But yes, the company did not need fund from headquarters anymore. The entire operation of buying, maintaining its own employees, keeping a moderate number of soldiers to save the establishment from various kinds of external attacks were taken care of by the revenues they received in terms of tax. Of course, there was this fear of the formidable Mughal emperor looming large all the time. Antagonizing him would have sealed their fate in a blink. But what is it that altered the course of history? Death of Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb's unbridled desire to subdue a huge expanse of land resulted in ceaseless expeditions that strained his treasury to the extreme order. Moreover, his extremist religious views and anti-Hindu laws gave birth to mortal enemies. Absence of a clearly defined successor too brought the whole empire down like a house of cards as soon as he died. In 1719 alone, there had been 3 Mughal emperors, one after the other. In this beleaguered state of affairs at the Mughal court, the enemies got stronger. Marathas launched incessant guerrilla attacks on the Mughal army and weakened them. The heinous raid of Marathas in Bengal exacted unspeakable violence by looting, killing, and rape. For long 10 years, such atrocious attack went on. It left such a dent in the memory of the Bengalis that every one of my generation grew up listening to the lore. Khoka ghumalo, pada juralo, borgi elo deshe, bulbulite dhan kheyeche, khajna debo kise. The baby has fallen asleep, the locality is silent, and then the robbers appear. The word bargi was a distorted version of bargiri in Maratha language. It meant light cavalry, suited for guerrilla attack and rapid movement. In this connection, it is worth mentioning that British too feared being looted by the Marathas, and hence in Kolkata, they dug a ditch around the fort. Remnants of history was not swept away by the wind of time. There is a lane in Calcutta even this day named Maratha Ditch Lane. The Mughal army could not do a thing to prevent this carnage. Hence, the faith on Mughal army among the inhabitants too ebbed away rapidly. Whereas the Marathas conspicuously sacked the house of Jagat Sheth as well as looted Murshidabad but avoided the British settlement in Calcutta. Perhaps there was already a fear about the superior military prowess of the British. Since such Maratha terror in Bengal, many people wanted to move inside the company territory for safety. On the other hand, in the west, Nader Shah of Iran mounted a savage attack on Delhi. His goal was not to rule Hindustan but to take away as much wealth as he could from the Mughal. Nader Shah supposedly looted away all the gold and precious metals he could lay his hand on, including the celebrated peacock throne. As William Dalrymple says, more than 3 centuries of wealth changed owner in just a few days. All this demolished the backbone of the Mughal Empire. Several provinces declared independence or simply stopped sending the taxes to the Mughal court. Nawabs turned their domains into free kingdoms. British was dealing with their own challenges and threats as mentioned already. Taking over the country as ruler was a distant idea. In the other part of the world, something else was brewing up. War between England and France. The ripples of the same often stroked the trading stations in India. But still, the French and the British tried at times to maintain some kind of understanding. During those days, British Kolkata was the safest and most prosperous sweet spot of the entire country. The Nawab of Bengal, Ali Wardi Khan, was respected and honored by the subjects. Both British at Calcutta and French at Chandranagar did their business with satisfaction. At this junction of time, a secret intelligence report landed in the hands of the British officials in England. It was about what someone clandestinely observed at a port. A large ship was being loaded with plenty of food as well as arms. The immediate conclusion was that the French government was sending their troops to some of the Indian coasts. And the most thriving and prosperous trading station of British was Kolkata. The message was conveyed urgently to Kolkata, advising immediate fortification of its establishment against an imminent French attack. The irony was, even if the intelligence report was correct, yet the inference was wrong. The ship was not headed for India at all. Now, raising the walls and strengthening the buildings amounted to claiming sovereignty in the heartland of Mughal. Even if Mughal Empire lost its control, yet, as I said, some of the provinces acted like standalone kingdoms. Bengal was such a province, and Nawab Ali Wardi Khan did not like the idea of such fortification by the English traders. The game began. The chess pieces began to move and were about to eat each other in savage ferocity. To know what happened next, wait for my next episode.